That's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, Marty, when I get to preaching and need to say it again, I want you to just give me that little hand wave, right? I figured that's something. I'll just say it again, right? No, that's good. Thank you so much, Winston and Bobby and Marty. Thank you, choir. Thank you, everybody, for blessing us with the wonderful music this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 is where I want to call your attention to. And I want to mention a couple of things, too, while you're turning there. Carla, I apologize. I've got to mention about the processing center dates with Operation Christmas Child. If you'd still like to go with a group over and work a 3 to 4 hour shift, whatever day, to help with the processing in Marietta, is that right? Or Atworth, somewhere in that area? They're going to have a group go over on December 3rd, which is just 2 days away. And there's another group going to go over on December the 17th. And if you'd like to go over and volunteer a few hours of your time to help with the processing center, Carla will be back down here after the service is over, and you can catch her at the back and talk with her about that and see if that'd work for you. I know it'd be a great experience for all that could take part in that processing work. The ones that have gone have come back and just shared how grateful they were for the opportunity and how what a blessing it was to them. You know, I've learned a lot of times in life you go somewhere that you're planning on being a blessing, and you end up coming home being blessed more than you ever imagined. So you encourage others to do that, and if you can work that out, it'd be great. While you turn there too as well, I want to mention to you that a few of you had asked me coming in, I'll just be real brief about this. Of course, you asked about my little man, Rob, having surgery this week, and first few days were pretty rough. He had some not real complications, but just the common stuff that comes with being surgicalized. But anyhow, he is doing better the past few days. His little stomach ain't hurting, and I think he's acting better. He's getting his energy back, which is great. His mama was wanting him to slow down, and now we won't see that energy back, so we'll know he's okay. He's doing well. Angie's mom's back over for rehabilitation at the nursing home. Appreciate your prayers for her. And Sam is continuing to heal through his time. He's got to go back again this week, and we're just praying. It seems that the grafts are taking well, and we appreciate all your prayers. We really try to be a low-maintenance family. I really am a low-maintenance friend. I'm not that friend you got to keep up. I'm not that friend you got to call all the time and all that kind of stuff. Those can be exhausting friendships, can't they? But anyhow, I am always trying to be that. And, you know, we definitely don't want to be of any high maintenance. We've just had a lot of things, and your prayers have been felt and kept us going. I've been told not to say this, but I don't do real good at being told what not to do. But we received a major blessing in the midst of all that pain. On October 30th, when we first got the call that Sam was hurt, we didn't know if he was going to live or die. We didn't know how bad. We had no idea, and we were going into that thing, and we got there, and it was bad. What could have been a whole lot worse, God? And I was praising God for his goodness. And the very next day, we found out that we're going to be grandparents again. So when Brooke comes after me, you buff, babe, okay? You buff. Because we don't like to draw a lot of attention to ourselves. That's why I have a problem with these college football end zone celebrations. I don't care which team you call for. I'm just saying they all do it. And I just think, like Bear Bryant used to say, if you really want to be the right kind of teammate, when you go in the end zone, act like you've been there before. You know? I mean, I think it's good to celebrate with your teammates, little high fives and stuff, but these shaky dances and drawing attention to people said, I'm just not big on that. I looked at my daughter the day after, and we were waiting on Sam to go in surgery when we found out all of this. And I looked at her, I said, honey, weeping endures for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. So God has given us a great blessing in the midst of all this. And I know y'all are tired of me talking about my one grandson, and can you imagine how I'm going to be with either another grandson or a granddaughter? I'm so glad God gave me girls, aren't you? Some of you guys that have daughters, you know what I'm talking about. You know, they told me when I was a little boy that little boys are made out of snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. You remember that? I read that we got a thing on Rob's wall. Little boys are made out of ducks and trucks and 8-point bucks. How about that? Amen. So either way, I'm grateful to God. Just want healthy babies. Amen. Want to be able to share life with them. Want to be able to invest in them. Want to be able to help nurture them and shape them to be used for the glory of God. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. If you found your place physically able, would you stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God? Y'all don't know how hard it's been for me from Halloween to today to not say a word about that. I tell you what, I think I've been real patient, right? Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Notice what the Word of God says. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, all the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which that were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, the child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Help me to preach as a dying man to dying men and women. And may the glory of God be manifest today through the salvation of souls, restoring of joy to backsliders, and through the changed lives that will leave this place in just a little while. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You're seated. Today, I'm preaching on Simeon's story. Now think about a story. How important is someone's story? You say, well, I don't have a story, but I beg to differ. You do. We all have a story. We all have events in our past and even in our present that are helping to shape us for our future. Our story is a record of our journey. It's filled with the experiences and even the people who have shaped our lives. You'll remember I told you that a lot of people will come in your life for a time, some for all time. Some will come to be a blessing, others will be a lesson. But regardless of that, you will be shaped for the future through those experiences. And Simeon is no different. Simeon's story has always been rather intriguing to me for several reasons. In just 11 verses in Luke's gospel, and might I add that Luke's gospel is the only gospel that gives us this account of Simeon's story. Oh, you say, why would that be? Well, one, I would say, because that's the way the Holy Spirit directed it. Amen? Two, I believe the gospel writers were also of different personalities, but they were of the same persuasion. They were persuaded to obey God as holy men and to give account as the Holy Spirit breathed the words of God into their heart. But it did not take away their human personality or giftedness. As you know, Luke was a doctor. Luke was a beloved physician. He was very thorough in what he did, and he gives us the most thorough account in our Gospels of the life of Christ. I believe it's important that we understand that about him, because I don't know about you, but I love thorough doctors. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want the doctor that Archie Campbell played on Hee-Haw. All he was studying was Nurse Goodbody. Y'all remember that? He wasn't studying nothing. He walked around smoking his cigar, you know. I don't know about y'all. I just really would want somebody a little more thorough than the Hee-Haw doctor. We appreciate when a doctor is very thorough in doing our blood testing and all these things and really tries to make sure that our health is optimum and that we're on the right path. And if there is some problem, that they do everything they can to discover the source and not just the symptoms that derive from the source. We read some amazing events in the life of Simeon in just 11 verses. He was a very important character in the early days of the life of our Lord, because after Jesus' birth and after his circumcision that you can read about earlier in chapter 2, he also had an experience, a time of healing, and then his parents brought him to Jerusalem. They did so to present him before God and to offer their own personal sacrifice. But then this is where onto the scene steps a man named Simeon, unknown to Joseph and Mary, to the best of our knowledge. They did not know who he was, where he came from. They just see this certain man, a very noble man, a noble saint of God, that is there, and they meet him. Now here's what our text reveals. It doesn't just reveal to us historically what took place between Simeon, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. As well as it does, it reveals to us more than that. It also reveals to us how that there is some truth that can be applied to our lives as we examine the testimony of this very special man. Now, I'm just going to bring two major truths to your heart today. But I want to talk to you about this man, Simeon, and here's what my prayer is that his story will affect your story. It can't affect what's behind you, but it can affect today, and it can affect tomorrow. That you would learn some things from the life of this man, Simeon, that when you leave this place, you will be leaving here a person with a changed heart mind about the things of God and the future of your life. The first thing I want you to notice about Simeon is notice his courageous demeanor. I imagine he was a very pleasant guy, can't you imagine? I imagine he was a very welcoming guy. He was not some random man that just happened to be passing by in Jerusalem as Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to present him to God and to offer their sacrifices. He wasn't just out of place just by happenstance. I believe that according to the word of God, that he was divinely appointed to be in this particular place at this particular time for this very special purpose. Now, here's what I believe about you. I believe today that of your own free will you chose to come, but I also believe that God knew you'd be here. Amen. You're in this place at this time for a special purpose. That is to hear from the word of God, to be convicted by the Spirit of God, and to be changed for the glory of God. Amen. That is why we're here. That's what was taking place in Simeon's life. We have scripture to prove this. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Now, when you read that word "he," you need to understand that he's talking about the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his way. Think about your children as they grow. You get a lot of delight as you see them begin to grow and crawl and walk and talk and begin to learn things and begin to grow up and begin to mature. And even if you're at my stage of life and they're grown and in their own lives and careers and things like that, you get much delight knowing that they are putting into practice things that you taught them in the days of their youth. Amen? I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, it brings delight to the heart of God when his people walk in his steps. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm chapter 119 that the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. It gives us and shows us the way, and God is doing that for Simeon, and he does it for you and I. See, Simeon was a man who walked with the Lord, and now he would encounter him in such a way that he had waited for many years to come to pass. What happened? Let's look at his demeanor. The Bible says he had a very humble pattern. I believe that's important. Patterns are important, aren't they? What pattern of life are you following? Are you allowing the Word of God to shape your heart and mind to a biblical worldview to where you can live with a pattern of spirituality and Christ-likeness? Or are you allowing the world to squeeze you into its mold? If it squeezes you into its mold, then you become like the world and you cannot effectively and victoriously live for Jesus. Now, I can remember when I was a little boy at my grandmother's house, she used to have patterns. Y'all's mama and grandmama have some patterns. And it would have on the outside a picture of this lady drawn like in a cartoon in this flowing dress. And that pattern was supposed to help you, if you got the right material, to make this dress. My grandmother made a lot of clothes, patched up a lot of my jeans. I've told y'all before, the generation of teenagers today, my grandmother would be having a Holy Ghost meltdown. She'd say, "Honey, bring me them jeans and let me patch them up for you." She wouldn't know it was a fashion statement, right? All right, but look, here's the deal. She used to have these patterns, Marty. And I was in Miss Sybil Hughes' kindergarten class, and she taught me how to use scissors. Now, one thing, now, Miss Connie, you know a lot about this. I did not know, because in kindergarten class, they taught us to cut on the dotted line. That didn't work good with grandmother's patterns. So I went up, and I just started snippety, snippety, snippety. And when she got through with me, I wanted to craddity, craddity, craddity. I thought I was just playing like we did in kindergarten. I thought that was something grandmother got from me just to cut up. Now, what I did is I ruined the pattern. It was no longer usable for the purpose for which it was intended. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today, I believe today that for the church, if we're not careful, we'll be squeezed so much and we'll allow the world to cut, snip, and tear at the mold which God has given us, which is the Word of God, that we will find ourselves where we cannot be usable for the kingdom purpose of God because we're following a pattern that is unusable for God and His people. Well, let's notice this. Verse 25 gives us a snapshot of the pattern of his life. Notice, just walk through the text with me. It says he was just. You know what that meant? He was a man who kept the law. He was a man who treated people fairly and treated people with respect. Amen? I know some of you guys from the 70s, you just hit a chord of Aretha Franklin, didn't you? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? Okay, look here. Don't you see that just common respect for other people is not as common as it's supposed to be? It's kind of like common sense, not real common anymore. I say common sense is a superpower in the 21st century. If you've got it, you are brilliant. But what we see here is a man who treated people fairly and with respect. He had respect from others because he was respectful to others. The Bible also says this about his pattern of life. It says he was devout. That meant in the original Greek, meaning he was cautious. He was cautious with what he said, what he did, and where he went. There's a word for us today, isn't it? He was very careful about the things he said, what he did, and where he went. He also teaches us that his devoutness is that he was devoted to the Lord and he was unashamed of his relationship with him. Y'all remember back in the day, these kids don't know nothing about this stuff because they got phones for this. But y'all remember Angie used to do this on her notebooks at school. Angie loves Brent. Little plus sign, AJBT, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was on every notebook she had. That woman was so unashamed of me. God, I'll tell you what. And I'm so unashamed of her. And it was just amazing. I used to, kids would get in trouble at church. Y'all won't believe this. Y'all don't do this because y'all can text each other. Preachers used to get on kids for passing notes in church. Y'all remember that phase? You get in trouble. Did your daddy call you out, Kay, for doing that? Yeah, your daddy got you, didn't he? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was your sister, your twin sister. You had a twin sister. You could always. Okay. All right. Fake K10. But the passing the notes. And here's the thing. I watched young people get shamed so much that many of them walked away and didn't want anything else to do with God. I saw a preacher once. I was preaching in a revival service for another pastor, and he got up and said this to the kids in his church. He said, "I've got a record of where all y'all sit. If I find any gum wrappers or anything in the seats where you were sitting, you're going to be called back up here and you're going to clean the whole church." That's real awesome, wasn't it? Let me tell you something. If y'all leave a gum wrapper, it's okay. Don't trash the place out. That's all right. I ain't going to tell you. You know, respect God's house. If you leave a water bottle, it's okay. If you do that, because I've got about 17 vitamin C droppers over here. My wife's done picked them up for me because I've been hacking, you know, and everything. Don't y'all want to hug my neck? But anyhow, but I'm just saying, what I'm grateful to God for is that the young'uns are here. Amen? Now, we're going to teach them respect God's house, things like that. But if you think you're going to mold somebody into this perfect little Christianette, go out on the porchette, suck on a cigarette and drive off in a Corvette. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you think you're going to do that, I'm telling you right now, that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to mold you into something. We're not trying to teach uniformity. We're trying to teach unity. Unity and uniformity are very different. Uniformity means everybody looks like. Unity means everybody walks alike. There's a difference, right? So let's move on. He was a man who was devout. He's unashamed. His testimony of faithfulness was visible and clear. It also meant that he was reverent toward God. God uses devout men, doesn't he, church? Throughout Scripture, God uses devout men to accomplish his purpose in his most holy, holy mission. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 tells us about a man named Cornelius. There's a little New Testament of days of the church applicable to this day of Simeon. The Bible says this about Cornelius, that he was a devout man. He was one man who feared God and all of his household. Everybody in his house feared God. He gave alms generously to the people and he prayed to God always. Well, what did God do with this devout man? He sent him and he called on Cornelius, and Cornelius got two of his household. And he also got a devout soldier, and he sent him down to Joppa to get Peter and bring him back to Caesarea where he preached the gospel to Cornelius' house. You say, well, what is that all about? Here's what it's about. God called upon a devout man, Cornelius. It took two devout people from his family who put a devout soldier with them and said, "I want you to go down to Joppa and get Peter." We wonder sometimes why God is not using us to do great, mighty, marvelous things. Maybe it's because our devotion is everywhere except where it ought to be. I told the Lord I didn't want to say that because y'all know I don't want to hurt y'all's feelings. Took y'all a second, didn't it? No, I really don't. I didn't come here to hurt your feelings. I came here to see you get a broken heart. A broken heart over the sinfulness of man and how man is so sinful, but God is so holy. But it took Jesus Christ to bridge the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God that we might have a relationship with the God of the universe. Amen. Ooh. God uses devout men. Here's my question, sir. Are you living in such a devoted way that God could trust you and use you to fulfill his holy purpose? Can you be counted on to be devout? Or will you crumble at the pressure of the crowd? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you, he's living in a very difficult time, but he doesn't give up hope. The Bible says this about him also. It said he was patient. You know what that meant? He was waiting. We don't like to wait, do we? You ever woke up one Monday morning and said, "You know what? I haven't been in any waiting rooms lately. I think I'll go down to the doctor's office and just hang out and see who's there." We were in the waiting room for about 3 or 4 hours this past Tuesday while my little man was in surgery. I done told him everything was going to be all right. He didn't have a clue what was fixing to happen to him, and I'm so glad he didn't, because he would have been mad. I said, it's going to be all right, son, because I believe God's got his hand on what's going on here. That waiting room was not good. You know, we don't like to wait in line. Here's what we want. We want crock pot quality meals in microwave time. My neighbor one time, I'll never forget this, he got him a microwave back about 1980. I'm sure they were putting out some waves that killed generations of people. I think about my generation. How are we still here? We gnawed on lead beds, on baby bed, lead paint, drank water out the hose pipe. These kids don't know what a hose pipe is. You say, is that a garden hose? I don't know what a garden hose is, but I know what a hose pipe is, right? We did all these things that are supposed to kill us. Had asbestos in everything we lived in. Fragrance in our house was Marlboro and Slim Jim, Virginia Slim. Y'all with me? Glory, I feel like a survivor. No. No, listen. He was waiting. But my neighbor had that microwave. And he said, well, I got me a microwave. He said, I'm going to cook me something. About 20 minutes later, I saw him bailing out the back door, smoke billowing out the back door. He had put an Irish potato in there and put it on 30 minutes. See, what he was doing was he was thinking about the old-fashioned oven time with microwave technology. But we've got it backwards. We want that good old crock pot quality, but we want God to do it in microwave time. See, that's the thing I knew coming back here to be pastor of this church. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I want to tell you, y'all have made it real good. Won't you know that? I cannot, Angie and I feel blessed. When we sing that song, I Am Blessed, we get a little lump in our throat and skip in our heart because we cannot tell you how blessed we are. But let me say this to you. I knew it wouldn't be easy, and I knew it wasn't going to change overnight. I knew it was going to take time. I knew there was going to be have some commitment to the long haul. And I want you to know if you're here today, you're going to have to stay committed for the long haul. You can't just say, well, it didn't happen fast enough for me. I wanted this to happen right now, but that preacher ain't got no vision. I've already heard it all. I've already heard all that before in the past, not here. But I mean, people say, I want it now. I want this for this ministry, this ministry. If I don't get it right now, I'm going to go somewhere where they'll scratch my itch. But if you're committed to the long haul, you say, you know what? It may not come in microwave time, but I'm going to trust God for crock pot quality. Amen. Amen? That's what I'm all about today is crock pot quality. I believe. What was Simeon waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Consolation means comforter or consoler. Here's what he was waiting for. He was waiting for the Messiah to come redeem his people. Whoa, glory to God. When you've got your eyes on the Messiah, you ain't worried about what's going on around you. That water cup, y'all remember? Boy, I tell you what, if we ain't careful, look here, as churches begin to grow, there's this thing called growing pains, and there's this thing called, you know, God begins to stretch us, we get a little uncomfortable, and we just start spilling our water all over the place. Well, Simeon was not so. Simeon kept his eyes on the fact the Messiah is coming. I've got a promise. I'm going to see him before I die, and I just got my head on the swivel. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret for him, for he him who prospers in his way because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You know what he did? He waited patiently for God, just as the psalmist said. He did not get tore up when somebody else got something he didn't have. He didn't get tore up when the wicked seemed to be doing all right and he was walking with God and struggling. Look what he did. He didn't get caught up in all the wickedness around him. He lived with an eye on the day that he would see the Messiah. Oh, church, there's a word for us in that, isn't it? Living for the day when we would see the Messiah. That's his humble pattern. But I got to talk to you about a second part. He also had a holy pilot. Y'all ever see these folks? God is my co-pilot. Sounds spiritual, don't it? Now, there's another S word for that. It's called stupid. We were riding home from a pastor's conference one time, and my oldest daughter was about 7 years old, 7, 8 years old, and our youth pastor was following behind us. And he's been a good buddy for many years now. And he was following behind us and in his truck, and Brooke was with us then, so we had her. And so we stopped at gas station. She said, "I want to follow behind y'all and ride with Jason." We said, "That's fine." So, "Jason, do you care?" He said, "Oh, no, Kate's my buddy. Be good company." So they're right behind him. Right. We got home one night, and she said, "Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. Mr. Jason's been saying the S word." Look here, your daughter comes up and says, "Your youth pastor been cussing on the way home, right?" And I'm thinking all these terrible things. How am I going to talk to him about that? I mean, youth people got snakes in their head anyhow. How am I going to? So, good thing about Miller, he's old. He can't be. And so I sat there. So I said, "Well, honey, you're going to have to tell me what." "Daddy, I can't say it." I said, "Honey, listen, you got permission to tell me what's going on." She said, "He said stupid." Y'all don't know how relieved I was that I wasn't going to have to say. I said, "Oh." And then I'm thinking, you know, she's like 7. I don't want her going to school telling her, you know, I didn't want her getting in trouble. But at the same time, I'm so relieved I'm wanting to shout. But then I'm like, "Well, you know, honey, we really shouldn't say that to our friends and stuff." But glory. But anyhow, I did. No, it's really dumb to say that God is your co-pilot. Now, look here. It's really dumb to say, "Well, somebody said, well, you need to switch seats." Look here. I don't even want to be co-in charge. I want to be totally dependent on him and his lordship for everything. Amen? I don't want to be co-nothing. Listen, you say, "Oh, you heard me say it." I say, "You Christians, you just use Jesus for a crutch." Crutch? He's a stretcher. I'm laid out. I am nothing without Jesus. But the Bible says through him we can do all things. It's time that we quit trying to say who's it. Look here, live like Simeon. Simeon was a man, the Bible says, that the Spirit of God was upon him. Now let's talk for a minute. The Holy Spirit, I know what some people are saying. Yeah, I read about, here's where they mess up. I read about it in the book of Acts chapter 2. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is a person, third person of Godhead. He is not it. Don't care what pronouns you all into out there. He is he. She is she. And that's the way God made things. Only man can mess that up. Amen? All right, now listen with me. So the Holy Spirit, a lot of people will say, "Well, okay, he came into being in Acts chapter 2. Absolutely not. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He is the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Been around since the beginning. Was present at creation. See, how did I know? Said, and God said, let us make man in our own image. Meaning all three persons of the Godhead were present at creation. So here we find that the Bible is saying, even in days before the Pentecost, even in Old Testament days, and here now in the days of the gospel, that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Yes, but the Bible doesn't say the Holy Spirit was within him. You with me? See, in the days before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was alive. The Holy Spirit was active among God's people, but he did not indwell them. Simeon, listen, here's a good thing to know today. Simeon was a man who was led by the Holy Spirit, and without the leading of the Holy Spirit, Simeon would never have fulfilled his divine purpose. Here's the good news if you're a New Testament believer today. The Holy Spirit is not just around you or upon you. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Glory to God. This ought to make a Presbyterian turn a somersault today. To know that the Holy God of the universe is so big, but he dwells within inside of us. And here's the question we have to understand today, and we have to ask. Are we being led by the Holy Spirit, or does our pattern of life grieve the Holy Spirit? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Yes, as a New Testament believer, one who has repented of our sins and trusted Christ, we are sealed to the day of redemption. But I want you to know what we have the ability to do is if our pattern of life does not match the pattern of the Word of God and being led by the Spirit of God, we have the ability to grieve the Spirit of God. That brings me to this last part. Not just his courageous demeanor, as courageous as he was, but also his compelling drive. Well, let's notice about this man. His motivation, what drove him? Let me ask you as we start this last section. What's driving you? Who's driving you? Are you enjoying the Spirit-filled Christian life? Are you enjoying the walk, or are you just enduring the work? Let's look at his three things. One, Simeon lived with a promise behind him. You see that in verse 26? Look with me again, if you will. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, this is God the Holy Ghost. God don't lie, right? Look here. What had been revealed to him? That he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine what that revelation must have done for old Simeon? The best we know, he's getting pretty old by now. He's been knowing all, for a good while, that he ain't dying till he sees the Messiah, the one who's come to bring comfort and consolation to Israel. Can you imagine how that must have brought his awareness to a fever pitch? John MacArthur said this: he must have lived in a constant state of joyous expectation, knowing that each new day might bring the Messiah he longed to see. That knowledge must also have been a sobering effect on him, motivating him to live a godly life. You imagine every day he opened his eyes. Maybe today's a day. I'm looking for the Messiah, and I've been promised by the Holy Ghost that I will not die until I do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, as New Testament believers today, since the day of our salvation, we also live with a motivating promise behind us. We have a promise behind us from the day of our salvation that ought to motivate us, ought to compel us to live every day for the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to see a baby in a temple, but I want you to know we're not going to see a baby in a male dusty stable. But one day, ladies and gentlemen, we will see the glorified Christ coming for the church. It ought to motivate us that today might be the day. Amen. He had a promise behind him. He also had, he lived with peace within him. Philippians chapter 4 says, and he gives us a peace that passes all understanding. That literally means the peace he gives is beyond figuring out. Doesn't mean we won't get nervous when things are beyond our control. Doesn't mean we won't have moments that we're just, you know, kind of discouraged. Doesn't mean those times won't come. They will come. But he gave them peace. You say, well, I'll tell you what, preacher. The reason Simeon could live so godly is he was living days of Jesus and everything was just rainbows and gumdrops. No, sir. The days that Jesus were born somewhat mirror a lot like what we see in our world in many places today. The whole reason they went back to Bethlehem was because of the census. They were crowding into a place that wasn't prepared for the crowds. But what, ladies and gentlemen, they couldn't even find a place, couldn't find a room, so Jesus was born in an old dusty stable, a king of glory. Left the robes of glory, took on the rags of humanity. It was time of Roman oppression. They were being oppressed on every hand, Roman occupation. They were having all sorts of difficulty around them. But you know what Simeon didn't do? He didn't look around at all of that static. He just got up every day believing the promise behind him that led him to live with peace within him. Can I tell you that's what we need in this world today? A lot of people don't have much peace, even among Christian people today. It wouldn't have mattered, regardless of who you're for in political parties or whatever. We live in a divided nation. a nation that's divided over all sorts of stuff. And I want you to know the political parties will never bring peace to America. They'll never bring peace to the heart of one single man, woman, boy, or girl. But I'm here to tell you, when people turn to Jesus Christ and we make Him the Lord of our lives and we wake up every day in expectation of His moving and awareness of His work in our lives, I want you to know you can live at peace no matter how dark it is. Then there's a final thing. He lived with a prize before. You know what Simeon knew? Can you imagine? Hey, Lord. So Simeon down here, don't know if you remember me or not, but I'm getting old. And I had this promise from the Holy Spirit that I wasn't going to die until I saw the Messiah. I hadn't been feeling too good lately. And went over and seen Luke the other day. He told me, boy, you are getting old. What do you expect? You are going to hurt. That man told me not too long back, he said he woke up one morning and nothing hurt and he thought he'd die. Right? Anybody over about 45 can attest to that, right? Listen, he said, you know what? I know that someday I'm going to see the Messiah. And when I do, my view of Him will lead to my death. Oh, listen, if you tune me out, you hold on here for about 2 minutes. I talked about Chuck Woolery the other day, 2 minutes, 2 seconds, love connection. He died the next week. Y'all don't want me calling y'all's name out from the pulpit, do you, right? I don't care. If you tune me out, see me. Simeon knew that the moment he laid eyes on the Messiah, you remember the Bible said there, I read it a little bit ago, we don't have time to cover it all day, but he took him and he blessed him. And he paid a blessing on Joseph and Mary and gave a prophetic word that he would be pierced and even her own heart would be pierced. Man, there's so much good truth there. But he knew, due to his advanced age and due to the promise of God, that the day he saw the Messiah would be the day that led to his death. When you come face to face with your own mortality and your need of a Savior, and you get a view of Jesus Christ from the Scripture, and you understand who the Messiah is, it will be the day that doesn't lead to your death. It will lead to your life. For Christians, y'all with me? Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read you 2 verses. Make one statement, I'm done. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simeon lived with a real expectant heart, didn't he? Any day he was going to see the Messiah. It's going to lead to his death. If you come to Jesus today in your lost condition, you submit to Him, surrender to Christ, and confess and repent of your sins, you will see Him and it'll be the day you begin to live. But for the child of God, this ought to be what motivates us. As the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, that we will see Him as He is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says He will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. As much as Simeon looked for expectancy to see an earthly Messiah, don't you think the body of Christ today ought to live with the same urgency and expectancy at any moment? We could behold the face of the Son of God. You say, Prince, you really believe that? Yes, I do. Well, I mean, that sounds like a fairy tale. Just keep on. I mean, just keep, trust me. I've sold my entire everything and being that I am to the Word of God, the Son of God, for the glory of God. I believe if he said he's coming down to get me. Old song says, I wasn't there on the Mount of Olives to see him go up, but I'll see him when he comes down. And that, my friend, will be the beginning. That will be the first day of our eternal existence in the presence of God. Simeon was looking for a Messiah. Here's my question to you today. Are you looking? You say, I've been looking for some way to get peace. I've been watching the news, and they got me so confused. The left, the right, the up, the down, the Democrat, the Republican, the Libertarian, the Cabinet, the Congress, the House, the Senate, all this kind of stuff. It's got me so messed up, I don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you what, Simeon tells us, just keep looking for the Messiah. The good news is he's come. And he's come that you might have life, abundant on earth, and eternal with him in glory. Oh, friend, would you pray that God would raise up devout, just, patient people filled and dwelled and moved by the Spirit of God that could help us see the world change in ways we never know. You say, Brent, it's too dark. They thought it was too dark too, but he came anyway. If you're looking for him, right here he is. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for your word today, Lord. I want to thank you for the story of Simeon, how our hearts are challenged by the story of this dear man who was used for such an important purpose. Father, I believe somebody came here today and they're looking for a Messiah. I believe people came today not knowing which way to turn. I believe people come here today at this Christmas scene saying, I don't know which way to go. But I pray through the Word of God and through the story and testimony of Simeon that today they can see. And let us come to Jesus today. Lord, I pray for Christians today who maybe the pattern that they're living by is not the pattern that you've given us in your word. Maybe their motivation, their compulsion, their drive for the things of God is not where it ought to be. Oh God, I pray you'd stir a fresh fire in their heart today. Oh, kindle something new in them, Lord. And help us realize that even in darkest times, the light of the gospel shines the brightest. Change somebody's life today, Lord, is my most humble prayer. God, we'll be careful to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stand with us all across the house. Here's the invitation today. If you don't know Christ, please come to Christ today. Don't come because I asked you to or I even thought I told you to. Come because you want to go to glory with him. You don't want to spend eternity separated from him, and you want to live a life that brings him honor. And church, hear me today. Oh, in this Christmas time, could we be like Simeon? Could we just be looking for ways to glorify the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us? Whatever needs you have, you may be here today and say, you know what, I want my family to be a part of a Bible-believing church. I believe this is it. And if that's God's choice for you, we invite you to honor the Lord with your decision today. When you're ready, Marty.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I truly fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship.
thank the Lord for the word of God today, church. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. Ushers are coming right now. They're coming. Today, my prayer for all of you as always is that we would approach giving as an act of worship. There's my buddy, Jackson Hudson. Y'all doing all right? Good deal, good deal. I'm just checking. Check on you guys out in college now. Going to be big engineers. Y'all don't forget me, okay? I love these guys, don't you? I love you kids. I do. Man, they mean so much to me. Love all of you. Thank God for you every day. And, you know, I just spent some time talking about that the other night. Thanksgiving gets a little different when you youngins are grown and working and got all kinds of different things going on. Things are different. They don't stay little alone, do they, Mom and Daddy? Amen? Some of you said mine's been little for a long time. But anyhow, it's different. But you learn to roll with it because God is always there no matter how different life is, right? But always approach giving as an act of worship. It's the way we show our dependence on God for his goodness and grace. And we do that here today, and it's just a way for us to say, Lord, it's not the tithe that's yours. It's all yours. You just put me in this world to manage it well, and I pray we are good stewards of God's resources. So let's join our hearts together and ask God's blessings on our giving. May need someone to post security out on Highway 46. I think my daughter was watching me this morning, so I'm busted. Hey, bro. Roll Tide. I don't know if this ain't something. But anyhow, Coach Rob, Coach Josh, Rob, and Rachel, and your family, if y'all would just come join me. Avery, Lila, where's Gabba? Macy, is she working today? That's the workingest girl. What? Y'all probably know their other daughter, Macy, out at WM. She's so precious and sweet. Ain't she, Avery? Rob's family. I got to meet Coach Rob a couple years ago when he came. He like me, growed up here in Cleveland County, started coaching over in Georgia and got out of exile, got to come back home. Right, I did. I spent 18-year exile and back here coaching at Cleveland County High School. He's our football and wrestling coach and teaches the ag department now. He's the new Mr. Turner for all of us in our time, and Mr. Thrash for all you real old people like Scott Dennis. But anyhow, this is him and Rachel, his sweet wife, and Gavin, we call him Gabbo, and Lila and Avery. They've come saying that they wish to unite with our church family. And if you are excited to have the Robinson family, would you let them know, church family? I'm glad you are out there. We're cheering for you, Avery. Amen. Amen. So the way we're going to close out our service today is, don't forget while it's coming up this week, Wednesday night, make sure you're here in time for our soup, salad, and dessert dinner, and Diamond Sits Tuesday and all sorts of stuff. But hey, pray that you keep looking for the Messiah this week. You don't have to look for him to come. He's already came. You look for him to come back, right? And you look to be faithful in the meantime. But I want you to come around on your way out. Welcome the Robinson family to Heflin Baptist Church. Let them be assured of your love, your prayers, support, and know that we are a family of faith. We're unified, not uniform, unified, and trusting God to do great things. And we're excited to have every family. If you've been here 5 minutes or 50 years, you matter to this family. Amen? So we want you to know that. All right, let's stand together, Marty. Don't forget, I love you, church. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Sing us out, Marty.